are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is from our Christmas Eve service, Hope is Here. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
I don't know if you have thought about this much or not yet this time of year, but truthfully, this time of year that we are in right now, it stokes one of the biggest rivalries, you could say, or one of the biggest maybe debates of all time. And it's not a debate about Vikings or Packers. It's not a debate about Gophers or Badgers. It's not a debate about toilet paper folders or toilet paper crunchers. Although I do not see how anyone in their right mind could be a cruncher, but that's beside the point. It's not a debate about eggnog or about peppermint mochas. It's not a debate about White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life. It's not even a debate about Christmas music before Thanksgiving or Christmas music after Thanksgiving. In my opinion, one of the biggest rivalries, one of the biggest debates that is rekindled most often this time of year, every year, is the debate of real or fake. You know what I'm getting at? Christmas trees. Okay, let me just do a quick, easy gentlemen. Let me do a quick poll here, okay? Raise your hand if you are a real Christmas tree kind of person. Okay, I see some hands going up. Now raise your hand if you are a fake Christmas tree kind of person. I see a few more hands. Now raise your hand if you just judged all of the people that put up their hands for the fake Christmas tree, okay? Be honest. There's no neutral in this kind of deal. We've all got opinions. We've all got, you know, our own thoughts about how you're supposed to do Christmas trees. I have the most vivid memories as a kid going to cut down a Christmas tree or going to just even pick out a pre-cut Christmas tree from Frank's Nursery and Garden Center just outside of Chicago. I have fond memories now with my own kids, you know, about cutting down Christmas trees out in the woods on extended family's properties, or even grabbing a tree from a farmer's pop-up stand at a gas station in Menominee, Wisconsin, right? I have always, always, always been solidly in the real Christmas tree camp, which is why I have shocked even myself by making the move to the fake Christmas tree over the last few years, okay? With three kids in the house all getting tangled up with me and the lights and you know, and me getting impatient and frustrated with them during what is supposed to be the most fun and most festive evening of, you know, Christmas decorating. After all that, I decided that for my own sanity and for the sake of, you know, the relationships I have with my kids in the future, I had to make the temporary move to the pre-lit fake Christmas tree. It may not last forever, but I'm going to be honest with you folks, I am enjoying it while it does last, okay? No matter how you slice it, real or fake, right? Christmas trees this time of year are a big deal. It's often the focal point of our Christmas preparations. Is the first box that we check when we're decorating for Christmas. We've had Christmas trees decked out here at church all month long, and I love it. They look great. Man, there's even entire TV specials, you know, broadcasting the transport of a big giant Christmas tree or the lighting of a big massive Christmas tree in, you know, in cities like New York and other major cities around the world. Right? Christmas trees are seemingly a very big deal. Now, I promise you, I'm not in any way anti-Christmas tree. I'm really not. But the reality is, and I'm sure that many of you probably know this, the reality is that setting up a tree, real or fake, inside of our houses and then decorating them with lights and red bulbs and random collections of odd-looking ornaments from our past, it has nothing to do with Christmas. Okay? The birth of Jesus has absolutely nothing to do with a Christmas tree. And yet, interestingly enough, one of the very first mentions of Christmas in the Bible, one of the very first glimmers of hope that God provides to his people long ago, one of the very first pictures painted of Jesus's arrival onto planet Earth, it was painted with the image of a tree. Not a Christmas tree, Not a maple tree or even an evergreen tree, and not even a living tree, but a tree stump. See, one of the very first reasons that a weary world could rejoice was depicted by the image of a tree whose branches had been chopped down and chopped off. It was depicted by the image of a tree that had been reduced to nothing more than a stump in the ground. Now, if you're having trouble visualizing what I'm talking about, then let me show you what I mean by reading for you the description of this picture that is painted for us. This picture is actually a prediction that was made by a prophet or a messenger of God's who delivered God's message to God's people. That prophet's name was Isaiah. Isaiah was famous for being the one who made a similar Christmas prediction that we read this time of year, every year. Isaiah was the one who said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Right? We hear this every Christmas, right? This is Isaiah's most famous Christmas prediction. But in my opinion, here's his runner-up. Okay? It's the image of a tree stump that I told you about, that I want to present to you today. We find it two chapters later in Isaiah chapter 11, and here is what Isaiah writes. He writes that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Okay. Now, maybe you're wondering, why in the world is he reading that tonight? Like, what in the world does that have to do with Christmas? Who is Jesse, and why does he have a stump? Okay, all great questions. So let me try to help you out if you're asking any of those. If I'm going to help you out, then I'm going to have to rewind for us, right? We will all have to rewind hundreds of years and many generations before Jesus and before the first ever Christmas. And when we do rewind, we will eventually see that Jesse was the father of a man named David, as in David and Goliath. David as in one of the first ever kings of Israel, one of the most well-known and one of the most accomplished leaders of God's people in the days of the Old Testament. These are all the days before Jesus walked on planet Earth. Okay, and so if you look at the genealogy of Jesus, it's listed in the very first book of the New Testament, the New Testament book of Matthew. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus, you would see that he was said to have been a son of or a descendant of David, right? The newborn king came from the royal line and from the royal family tree of King David, Jesse's son. The discouraging thing, the disappointing thing about this royal family, however, right, the royal family tree of David, the disappointing thing is that in the generations after David and the generations leading up to the birth of Jesus, this royal family, God's favored and God's chosen people, they were not so royal anymore. That they were no longer the shining example of God's chosen people as they once were or as God intended for them to be. They had lost their shine. They had lost a little bit of their luster. In fact, at the time of Jesus's birth, this family, this royal family dynasty, it still existed, but it had been without power and without prestige for 600 years, in part because of their own sin and their own rebellion and their own bad choices, and in part because of God's disappointment in them and even God's judgment on them. They had lost their mojo, right? Elvis had left the building a long time ago. For 600 years, they were going in the wrong direction. And so at the time of Jesus's birth, this royal family tree with its sprawling branches, right? This royal family tree little by little, over time, year after year, had been reduced all the way down to a tree, what? Stump. It had been sliced up, chopped down to a small, dull, lifeless remnant of what it once was, referred to as the stump of Jesse, who was never king, right? It was referred to as the stump of Jesse, the guy that was never king, rather than referred to as the stump of King David. And this was somewhat intentional just to make it even more clear as to the depths that this family had fallen. It's not even referred to as the family of David any longer because that's how bad things had gotten. This tree stump, the stump of Jesse that Isaiah describes, right? It's a peculiar picture maybe for us tonight, but this picture that he describes, it is the most perfect metaphor to describe the condition of and to describe the state of God's people at the time of Jesus's birth into the world. They were dead, dormant, defeated, discouraged, desperate, lifeless, and hopeless. And had been for a very, very, very long time. And yet, from that very place, from that dead, dark, dormant, defeated, discouraged, lifeless, hopeless place, Isaiah paints a picture of hope. What does he say? A shoot will come up from that stump. Right? A new branch will begin to grow from that place. You ever seen an image like this in real life? I mean, I've got bushes in my front yard whose roots apparently go down real deep, right? Because every year I hack away at those bushes. I hack the bushes to pieces and I cut those things down to the ground each year a little bit more than the last year so that I could be assured that this year they really would be dead and gone. But each spring, what happens? The rains come and the sun shines and a little tiny green shoot starts to grow from a bunch of those old dead roots. Okay, I don't know how Isaiah knew that like this was going to be a regular occurrence for me or for maybe for you, but that's so perfect. This is the picture that he paints for us, and the image to me is so striking. But the reality, the picture, right? The truth that a shoot really could indeed grow up from a stump, a new branch really could grow from old roots. Life really could begin to appear from what appeared to be dead. Folks, as strange and as obscure as this picture may seem at Christmas, right? This is the message of Christmas, right? Because that shoot, that branch, that new life that Isaiah is pointing to, it was Jesus, right? Jesus was born into a dead, dark, dormant, discouraged, desperate, dreary, and weary world. He was the thrill of hope that allowed that weary world to rejoice. Friends, if I had to boil down the Christmas message that Isaiah is alluding to, if I had to boil it down into one thought or one idea, it would be this, that hope grows best in the most unexpected places. You got to know that. Hope grows. This is what this is all about, the story of Christmas. It's the idea that hope grows best in the most unexpected places. Christmas, for you and for me, it is the great news that where Jesus is present, hope is always possible. How do we know? Because Isaiah's prediction, it came true. Right? Jesus, whose hometown was the humble town of Nazareth, he was born into the world. He really was living proof. He was the shoot. He was the new branch bearing fruit from the old dead root. Jesus came into this world to bring hope and to bring new life for them then and for us too. I can't help but think of the lyrics from one of the songs that we just sang, that Jesus was born to raise the sons of earth, that he was born to give them and to give us and to give you a second birth, right? Jesus was born to bring new life out of the places in our world, in our lives, and in our hearts that appear to have no life left within them. That is precisely why I wanted to talk to you about tree stumps this Christmas, because a stump in the ground is the perfect way to remind us that hope truly does and can and will grow in the most unexpected places. The whole Christmas story sends, the whole Christmas narrative, it sends the same message, right? That a savior of the world is born in a barn. Right, you know, to parents from the wrong side of the tracks, to a disgraced teenage mom and a freaked out new dad. And it was from those very unexpected places that hope entered into the world. And I can't help but wonder how many of you could use that same glimpse or a similar glimpse of hope. I can't help but wonder how many parts or how many pieces or how many places in your life look or feel like or maybe perhaps resemble a dead old stump in the ground. Maybe quite literally, as we started talking about a family tree, maybe you had hopes and maybe you had dreams of a big sprawling family tree. Maybe you had a picture of what an immediate family or what extended family would look like for you at this point in your life, and maybe that picture right now has amounted to not much more than a tree trunk or a tree stump or just some gnarly old roots that everybody seems to be tripping over. I want you to know hope grows there. Not necessarily hope that every dream you ever had would come true the way you envisioned it would, but hope that fruit can still be evident in the life that you live. Right? Maybe your kids are not living the life that you hope for them to be living. Maybe they've walked away from the faith that you tried to instill in them. Maybe they're traveling on a path that you would never choose for them. Maybe you're, you know, watching from afar the bad choices that they're making and the consequences that they're experiencing, right? Hope grows there in those places for them and for you, right? New life, new beginnings, do-over, second chances, and second births can spring forth from that very place and those very places in their life and in your relationship with them. Maybe for you, maybe your marriage, if you were honest, maybe your marriage looks right now and feels right now like a big old giant stump in the ground, a remnant of what it once was or what you thought it would be. Maybe year one or maybe year 10 or maybe year 40 is not like anything you ever imagined it would be. Hope grows there. It's the story of Christmas, right? Maybe you're at a crossroads in your career so far. There hasn't been much fruit at you know, at this point you're wondering if you're doing the right thing after years of feeling off or empty or unsatisfied or unfulfilled or unsure. Maybe a big important piece of your life feels too much like a big dead old giant stump. Hope grows there in that place. As long as God's purposes are still your purposes, there is still life in whatever roots you have planted. Or maybe for you, right? Maybe it's not something out there. Maybe it's not a job or a career or a dream or a goal that feels dead and gone for you, but maybe it's something inside of you. Maybe it's a faith you once had, or a spark that you once felt, or a light that you once shined. Maybe it's your heart that feels as though it's been cut off and cut down. Maybe you feel disconnected from God, or that God's disappointed with you. If that's you here tonight, you got to know hope grows there in those places too. Maybe it grows best there. Or maybe for you, maybe you're just tired, or you're worn out, or you're burnt out, or maybe you're making a significant decision in your life right now, or you're facing a really big dilemma right now. My wife and I, we've been in those places, right? Big choices and big dilemmas, and it can be overwhelming. It can be like hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I need you to know that hope grows there. Hope still exists deep within some of those dark places that feel dead and gone. The Christmas story, right? The birth of a tiny baby in a humble barn to a tired and weary world, it is the living proof that truly, truly, truly new life can and does appear in the places that appear to have no life left within them. See, folks, the hope that we have, we gotta understand this. We gotta get this right. The hope that we have in those dead and dark places depends not on the circumstances that unfold around us lining up, you know, perfectly. The hope that we have in those dark places, they depend on the belief that we have. That hope can grow in the places that we least expect it. Sometimes it comes down to the simple idea that we just have to choose to believe that there is hope because of Jesus. It all starts there. I mean, in all honesty, I think of the wise words of the great theologian, Princess Leia. She says, hope is like the sun. If you only believe it when you see it, you'll never make it through the night. That's good. Hope is like the sun. If you only believe it when you see it, if you only believe it when you expect it, if you only believe it when you know somehow it makes sense in front of you, you'll never make it through the night. Midcurrent, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what it is that feels like it might have been reduced to or chopped down to a stump in your life, but Christmas is the reminder that hope can grow there in those places. Step one is choosing to believe it. Sometimes it's simple as that. Step one is choosing to believe that hope really can grow in the places that you least expected. This kind of hope in Jesus, it's a choice. I think it's just got to be an attitude. It has to just be a default posture of our heart. It has to be a choice that we make. Sometimes it's that simple. I know everyone here is not necessarily a Vikings fan, but I just wonder how many of you heard. I suspect not many. I wonder how many of you heard the Vikings coach's message to the team when they were down 33-0 at halftime last week. Yeah, I'm not joking you. It's a cool video. He said that his halftime speech to the guys was, "Guys, all we need is 5 touchdowns." That was his locker room speech to them. Down 33-0. He says, "Fellas, all we need is 5 touchdowns." And guess what? It's exactly what they got. They came back in the second half. They came back to win the game and pull off the biggest comeback in NFL history. I don't care if you're Vikings fans or Packer fans. I'm just trying to tell you folks, sometimes you just got to believe deep down inside of you. You just got to operate with the idea that it is always possible to do what it is that feels impossible. Sometimes you just got to choose to believe deep inside of you that hope really can grow in the places that you least expected. And step number two, friends, is exposing those places to the light. You got to believe that hope can grow in those places. You got to start there. And step number two is you got to find a way to expose those places to the light. In much the same way that a new branch tiny new branch begins to grow from an old dead stump, when even the smallest part of it is exposed to the light of the sun, so too does hope grow in us when those dead and dark and dormant places are exposed to the light of the world, also known as Jesus. Folks, Christmas is the good news that when Jesus is present in our lives, when Jesus is present in our families and in our marriages and in our relationships and in our homes and in our hearts and in this world, when we allow him to be the guide and the influence and the source and the inspiration and the priority in every area of our life, hope is always possible, no matter what it is that comes our way. And so the question that I want to ask you then this Christmas, the question I want to ask you then this year is this: what part of you will you expose to the light? Today, I actually want to give you a moment. Right, we don't stop often in the course of our busy lives to think and to look within ourselves. And so before you go anywhere else here tonight or this weekend, I want to stop and I want to give you a moment to contemplate that very question and to give you an opportunity to actually expose some dead, dark place or piece of you. I want to give you the opportunity to expose it to the light. So right now, I'm going to invite Brian and Steph and a few others of the band back up to close our service. And as they come up, I want to do something here. I want you to grab a pen. We tried to stuff as many in the seats in front of you. So I want you to grab a pen, and I also want you to grab the little tree stump that you were handed when you walked in. And I want you to take a moment to think about the place in your life, the piece of your life, the part of your life where you need hope to grow the most. It could be hope in a relationship that you need. It could be in a decision or in a dilemma. It could be in a diagnosis. It could be in the doubt or in the discouragement or in the disbelief or in the depression, or it could be something else. But I want you to take a moment to think right now about where it is in your life that you need hope to grow the most. And as it comes to you, I want you to write it down here, because here's what we're going to do. After a few moments of silence, and I'm going to give you a few moments of silence in a second. After a few moments of silence where we've identified where it is that we need hope to grow the most in the dead and dark places in our lives, what we're going to do then all together is we're going to take those parts and those pieces and those places in our lives, and we're going to expose those parts of our lives to the light. Because what's going to happen is ushers are going to come down the aisles and begin lighting candles, which you also received when you walk in. And little by little, this room is going to fill with the light of these candles as we sing of the light of the world, who came into this world for us on that still, quiet, calm, and silent night. So I'm just going to give you a moment. Brian's going to begin to play, and we're just going to take a moment here to think, to look within ourselves, to ask ourselves, where do I need hope to grow the most in me right now? So take a moment. Think about it. Look within yourself. And at the very least, spend a moment asking God to speak to you in that very place. Take a moment. Thank you. suppose I don't know for sure, but I gotta believe. I gotta believe that there are some places in our lives that we could use some hope. And so I hope that there is something that you've written down, some place in your life that you do need to see hope grow. Because what we're gonna do right now all together is we're gonna expose those places to the light. We've got some ushers that are gonna come down these side aisles and they're gonna begin lighting the candles that you brought in. Side note, the best thing to do is to take the unlit candle and turn it into the already lit candle. And we'll begin filling this room with light that comes only from the light of these candles. And as light fills this room, this is our opportunity then to expose these places in our lives that feel dead and gone. This is our chance all together to expose these places to the light. To the light of the world that was born into this world, as I mentioned, on a still, on a calm, on a quiet, silent night. So if you've got your candle lit, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We'll let the lights of these candles shine as the rest of the lights come down. And we'll begin singing together of the hope of the world who came into this world on this silent night. Let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Follow us online during the week and visit us on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:30 a.m. at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson.